Hello, welcome to season two of Young Valley Leaders, where we feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard who are making it happen for themselves and our community. I'm your host, Lewis Holzman, and today I'm here with Krista Berdelli.
Hello, thank you so much for having me.
Hello, hello, and you are welcome. Thank you for taking the time to come out and join us today. We are going to dive into what being a leader here in the Valley means and how do you get there as a young individual spurring out of your career. I think you're a great individual to talk to that. No matter where we are in the Valley or wherever I go, at least from a business networking community standpoint, you are either there or there's people that I meet there that know of you and you get brought up. It is pretty incredible because I find myself out and about pretty frequently, and I think there's few people that do it more than I, and you may be one of them. So props to you for that. A little bit of a background here. Coming into the Lehigh Valley, originally not from the Valley, I believe the Scranton-Wilkes-Barre area?
Yep, right? Scranton.
Finding your way here through initially Kutztown for university and then the Lehigh Valley Airport as an intern, and then finding your first full-time job there, being able to then move into a prominent area in the promenade, helping to manage the leasing and the sales and marketing components that's going over there, and then now finding yourself in a leadership role, director of business development for Agentis Plumbing. Quite an incredible career. I think also side note, and I don't know how side this is, and you can elaborate if you'd like, but also a real estate agent, right?
Yes.
So, touching a lot of different industries and corners of the market, really excited to learn about how you've evolved your skills to be able to get there and what that path looks like. Let's dig in.
Yeah. Well, you nailed it on the head. You know my background and I love it. So I'm from the Scranton area and I went to school at Kutztown. I honestly did not know about the Lehigh Valley. I just drove through when I would go to Kutztown. And when I was in my sophomore year, I was an honors student, so I had to do community service hours. And so I just, gave some time when I was at the career fair that they did over here at the Briningsville. It was the Holiday Inn, I think, at the time, but now it's the Delta. And I was like, you know what? I'm just going to go walk through. Whatever. Why not? I had a resume that had nothing on it. I worked at Chuck E. Cheese and Annie Ann's. So I was like, let's see how this goes. And a woman actually stepped forward. She saw I had a sticker on and it said marketing. And so we started chatting. And after that, I did an interview and it was for the airport. I was like, when am I going to find out if I'm going to get the position or not? And they were like, we have interviews all week. We'll get back to you. Come to find out, after they did hire me, I was the lone person that applied and they interviewed. And so I think I just automatically got the job. But that then turned into me actually leaving the summer after to go do an internship with Target because I was a double major and found out exactly what I didn't want to do, manage Betty Lou, who is retired, and you're trying to get her to hit these sales goals. And she's like, I'm just here to get out of the house for the day. Then the airport was so gracious to let me come back. And ultimately, upon graduation, I had two job offers. I will say Target was substantially more, but I saw the value in what the airport brought and what the Lehigh Valley community was. So I decided to move out here after school rather than going back up to Scranton. Stayed there for a few years, loved it. I definitely made my mark there, and I really enjoyed the people that I worked with. It was a great starter job for me. Most people know government moves pretty slow, so it was a good transition from school. And then found myself during COVID, I just needed more. I needed to do something. I couldn't stay in the house, so I'm like, let me try and get my real estate license. And so that's ultimately when I got it. However, I didn't hang it for a few years, actually until I was in my role at the promenade shops, because I was taking on that leasing and learning all about that side of things. So I still have not sold a house. I have not sold anything yet.
It's coming.
I'm ready for it. I need it. I have a goal for this year to do that, because obviously now I'm full-time at Agentis Plumbing. So that's something that I'm just doing on the side. But my role at the promenade was awesome. I learned more than I ever thought that I could. And then I was approached with a job with Agentis Plumbing in a service-based role. Didn't really know what that was going to be like. And every day I am learning something new.
Yeah, I'm sure. Do you see much cross-pollination between the three different industries that you've been in, or four even? Like, is there too much that you've taken from one to the next that's directly applicable? Or is it pretty new waters being charted every time?
There's both. I'll say the main thing that I take from industry to industry is the people, right? So always making sure that you have good relationships with people. But for example, at the Promenade Shops, we had a bowl fountain that you could, you know, throw a penny in, make a wish. I knew a lot about it just because we had to maintenance it and it was kind of a pain in the neck. And today I was at St. Luke's campus and they have a bowl fountain there, and they were talking to us from the plumbing side, like, what can we do and things like that. So there's definitely some cross-pollination.
Interesting. That's probably something that you never really thought of being something that would cross over from one to the next, but it's one of those little tweaks of knowledge that you're like, actually, I know a little bit about this.
Yes, yes, exactly. So it is good when I'm able to give, you know, my feedback on it, because right now I was saying I have the case of like new job syndrome where I don't really know. I'm just taking it all in. I'm now 9 months there, and you'd think like you got to know some stuff, and I do, but every plumbing job is so unique and different. Like, it's not replicated, so I'm learning a lot.
Yeah. Kind of taking it back before all of that. And I just opened up with you being like, oh, she's out and about all the time. You see her, people know her. Like, what prompted you to get out in the way that you did? Is it strictly career oriented and being very career driven? Is it part personality? Is it part of being in a new place and wanting to just meet people? Maybe a combination. And not only what prompted that, but also it takes a lot to put yourself into a water with new people, and not just new area, but walk into a networking room and, hey, this is what I do. And
yes,
try to kind of spitball it from there. So what characteristics do you have that and you can kind of give to instill into people to take that risk and to take that jump that then ultimately opens up new opportunities as you've experienced?
Yeah. So what originally brought me to it was just being from Scranton. That's home. This is not home. So coming here, I didn't know people. And working at the airport, everybody was a little bit older. So I'm like, how can I find like-minded individuals that want to go out and have a drink and have fun and, you know, could have good conversation, not just like go to a bar and you just meet someone and you're like bopping around to some music, like actually substantial conversations. So I went to my first ever Young Professionals Council free meet and greet event that they did actually at House and Barn. I'll never forget it. I was absolutely terrified. And I went with one of my fellow interns at the time from the airport, and I was so scared. It was the scariest thing ever. I know what it's like to walk into a room to this day. Even though I do get out and I do know a lot of people, there are a lot of rooms that I walk into that I don't know anybody, and I have that same feeling come over me again. And it gives you like a reality check of, okay, I want to be the person that if I see somebody new come into the room and I'm comfortable in that room, I'm going to go welcome them in. And that's something that I've really tried to do, because I know what it's like to be on the other end. So although I'm an extroverted person and, you know, I could talk to a lot of people, that's the surface. That's what you're seeing. But what I'm feeling inside is not necessarily always that. And people won't know that. But I would say in order for you to actually get out and do it, number one, you need to show up first and foremost. Show up. But also, if you're going to show up, be there. You can't just show up and be in the corner and say, okay, I did this, I was there. I set a goal for myself. Every event that I go to, I try to get 3 new business cards or nice. Give out 3 business cards. And that doesn't always happen. I don't like knock myself if I don't get to do that. Sometimes you just get really great conversation with somebody and you only meet one person, and that's okay too. But you really want to make sure that you need to show up. And when you show up, you need to be present and you need to be there. I've seen a lot of people that they'll even, you know, they just want to show face. So they'll show face at an event for a little bit and then they leave, they go to another event. And there's nothing wrong with that, as long as you're true in who you are and you're authentic and you people know that you have other places to be. But you want to be there when you're there, and you want the people to know that you're there while they're there. Everybody's present.
Yeah. Now, being present is critical, because otherwise it just comes off as rude.
Well, and like even when people pull out their phones and stuff, I get it. And I'll say to people, you know, just let me know you got to take a phone call or somebody's calling you. But if I'm like having a conversation with you and then you're sidebarring, you know, texting, I'm just like, our conversation can be over, you know, like right. We don't have to keep talking.
Right,
but
right.
I think it's also one of those like fail safes for somebody to feel comfortable doing, because they might be like, too much eye contact, or I don't really know this person. It's my first time doing this. So just some pointers.
Yeah, it's a unfortunate social vice that we all have, and we all do it to different extents, but it has become very commonplace now versus, yes, you know, 20 years ago, you just didn't, people weren't on their pagers like, oh, right, my God.
They called me into work, yes.
So it sounds like you've been very intentional about your path here, and
intentionally, unintentionally. Okay. Like, I think it ended up working out that way because, trust me, I did not have, like, any agenda for this. Like, nobody in my family is really business-driven. My dad, he didn't go to college, and my mom, she works in the medical field. And so I kind of took this opportunity and made it my own, but it intentionally ended up working out unintentionally.
Sure. And where I was going with intentional is you've now twice mentioned you set a goal for yourself. One, with the home. Two, with business cards. So you clearly set goals for yourself. And I think a lot of people don't necessarily do that. They have ideas of, this would be fun to have in my life, but then the steps that's necessary to take to get to said, this is fun in my life, don't necessarily get played out because they don't set either a goal or a timetable to be able to get to said goal, and then they're just in the same spot. So,
well, I think people are scared to fail as well. I mean, if I don't sell a home by the end of the year, like, will that suck? Yeah. But at least I know that I put in the effort that I could to make it happen. Same thing with the business cards. Like I said, I have a goal, but sometimes that doesn't happen. It's funny. I watched a podcast, and it was about how less and less people make New Year's resolutions. And it is saying that it is associated with people not wanting that feeling of failure. Mm. And I get that. You know, people will be like, oh, yeah, New Year, I'm going to go to the gym like 3 times a day or 3 times a week. I'm going to eat really good. And like, before you know it, you just set something too strong for yourself. And so then you fail and then you don't want to do it again. Like, you want something that is a little bit stretch, but not that you can't obtain it.
Sure. Yeah, it's interesting. Would you find that there are either, you mentioned podcasts, there be either books or podcasts or things, media that you consume either daily or within a routine that help build that discipline in your life, or even let maybe even some mentors or people that you've met along the way that has helped propel not just your career trajectory, but your mental trajectory, allowing you to build that leadership discipline, that goal orientation? Anything you want to share?
Yeah, so I would say that since I started my Krista in the Valley account, that specifically is something that I've focused on following different leaders, influential speakers, things like that. So every morning, you know, I'll first go on my phone, just like everybody else. And I don't just go on my personal, but I go on Krista in the Valley as well. And I do that on LinkedIn, I do that on Instagram, and I do that on Facebook.
So what is Krista in the Valley?
So Krista in the Valley is my own personal brand that I have created since I was at the Promenade Shops. It kind of started with me sharing the different opportunities that were available at the Promenade Shops in terms of advertising opportunities and storefronts that were available that wasn't appropriate to put on the actual Promenade's page. But I didn't want to say like Krista at the Promenade or something like that because it doesn't necessarily, it won't always work. And so I was like, if I'm going to put the effort into this, like I got to keep it going. And I used to do the social media for the Promenade's generic page. So it was like, okay, if I'm not going to be doing it for the generic page anymore, how can I do it that still makes sense, that can help the business, that can help me grow my brand? And it's actually been awesome. I'll go to events sometimes and people will be like, are you that Krista in the Valley girl? And I'm like, yeah, that's me. And I just hope I give, you know, the same authentic person that I am online, in person, and that they're happy with the person that they meet. Because, you know, social media is not always what it's cracked up to be.
Yeah, certainly a lot of vanity, but I think you do a really good job projecting both social and then in person. And because of the authenticity that you bring in your personality and being able to be the person that goes and welcomes them out, that really reflects positively in you in person and online. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that as we come back into our second segment. But until then, I'm Lewis Holzman with Krista Berdelli here at Young Valley Leaders, and we'll chat soon. Lewis Holzman here, host of Young Valley Leaders on WDIY 88.1. On my show, I feature the upcoming movers and shakers in your backyard making it happen for themselves and our community. Without listener contributions, hosts like myself couldn't bring these valuable topics and placemakers to Lehigh Valley Public Radio. Donate now to help keep these conversations on the air by calling 610-758-8810 or online at wdiy.org. All right, and we're back here with Krista Berdelli on Young Valley Leaders. We're talking about plumbing. We're talking about the Lehigh Valley. We're talking about what does it mean to be a leader and step outside your comfort zone and actually show the heck up at events and be present while you're there. Krista does a great job in doing that, certainly a welcoming face at many events. And many more to come. Krista, I'm most curious to learn about some projects that you're working on, anything exciting that is coming up in the back half of this year that you'd like to share?
Yeah, so from a personal standpoint, my dad actually passed away in February of this year. He had benign brain tumors. It's kind of been a struggle of a life, you know, for the later half there.
So sorry.
Thank you. And so I'm going to start a foundation called Rock to Remember. He was a rock star. So he was a singer, drummer, like tight leather pants, the like bracelets with the studs on them.
Oh, yeah.
He was a stud back in the day.
That's awesome.
And you're a musician yourself.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so you really get it. So we're
What was his band name?
He was in like 8 different bands.
Okay.
Yeah. One was called 911, Snow Dog, Starstruck, just so many different
ones. It
was like
ones. 80s hair metal type of stuff?
Yes. So I'm going to start this foundation called Rock to Remember. I'm in the midst of it right now. And we're going to basically have an event that we're going to have local bands be able to perform and just raise money for research for benign brain tumors. But then also, I think I might add like a scholarship component in there for students that are looking to get into the arts and music to go to the Charter Arts or maybe get a new guitar or something like that.
Very cool. When are you hoping to launch the foundation and get the event moving?
So his birthday was July 17th. So I really want to try and have that as a start date of like bringing in donations and things like that. But I'm thinking that it'll probably be a next summer actual event once we have some funds that come in, get the word out there.
Kind of get the infrastructure down and just really set up to make a big bang in 2026.
Yeah, I mean, I planned so many events at the promenade. I know what it takes that goes into it, and I want to make sure I do it like 120%.
Definitely is something you want to go all out on. So keep me posted. And
yeah, I will.
Keep us posted. It's got to be a very... you alluded to a challenging time over the course of years for your family, but then just it ending however it ends is never necessarily fun.
No, the like brightness in it is that a lot of people say that I have the personality of my dad, like especially my mom. She's like, Krista, I need to just, when we go places, like I need you there. Like you're just the person that could talk to people, make people feel comfortable. And that's exactly what my dad was. So I'm just hoping to shine that light continuously for him through myself.
Yeah, you keep people alive through being you and what they are inside of you is a whole lot of who you are. Right?
Yeah. So. Well, and I care. I mean, you know, you meet a lot of people nowadays and I always say like, if somebody's going to put in the effort to help fill my cup, I'm going to put the effort in to help fill theirs too. And sometimes that might be a conversation you don't want to have or, you know, whatever it might be. And it's all about being true to who you are and like how you can go to bed at night and be like, okay, did I give 100% to every person that I came across today? Because they say that there's that effect where you like literally walk by people and you don't even like remember seeing them. You've looked at them and then maybe they'll show up in your dream because you've seen them in person, but you've never really even acknowledged. So just trying to be that person.
It's like really truly being seen and truly seeing the people that are present and part of your life in a day-to-day basis. Because to your point, it is really easy to gloss over, glaze over, scroll next, whatever.
Yes,
and so a little bit tied to that, when you think about some of those core values and principles, like anything that comes to mind that you attribute some of your success to or just you as like a being as a woman that you project in your being?
I mean, again, I think it just goes back to being authentic. Like, I can't fake this. It would be a lot to have to put in to fake this. And I think that some people, you don't naturally have to be the extroverted, outgoing person. But if you are who you really are inside to other people, they're going to see that. Because most of the time I meet people that are not necessarily on this, like, big extroverted level that I'm at. But I know how to meet them. I call myself a chameleon. Like, I feel like I could talk to anybody as they want to be seen. Yeah. So as long as they're true to who they are and they're not faking it, then I tend to have really great conversations.
Yeah.
I'm not just saying that. I, like, really enjoy meeting new people and talking to people and learning about what they bring to the table.
People make the world go round, right? Right. And if you're afraid to talk to people or don't want to or just like, whatever, like, I mean, you're closing yourself. You're saying no without saying no.
Exactly.
So, you know, yeah, is it exhausting sometimes? Does sometimes it feel a little overextended or you're running all over the place? I'm sure, because I get it. But at the end of the day, you end up bringing forward so many new experiences and it grows your world without you necessarily asking to because you're getting that perceptions and opinions that otherwise maybe wouldn't have fallen on you.
Right. Well, and that's why it's also important to like reset yourself. So one of the things that I've learned over the past at least 5 years is I need a day to myself, like a true day to myself. And that's typically on a Sunday. So I recharge, I reset. Even if my mom FaceTimes me, I'll text her and be like, do you need to talk to me right now? But that's my day to really just chill out, recharge my battery, and that's what makes me me. That's not going to happen every Sunday, of course, but that's something that I try to do because it helps me throughout the week.
And it's building in those healthy habits. It's going to be different for everyone of what those are that allows them to reset energy, recharge, to take on the full life of whatever that full life is for an individual. If you aren't filling your own cup and happy and being the best you, you can't give to other people in those same ways. And that shows in your work. It shows in your family dialogue and how you treat your friends and just the general mood you carry yourself with. So that recharge and reset is absolutely critical. And sometimes you need to take a step back.
Yes,
in order to take a bunch of steps forward.
Yes.
Whether that's once a week or it's just in your normal life of day-to-day routine.
I hibernate for sure in the winter. Like, I'm a big, you know, sun's out, patio season type of girl. Like, spring coming, the flowers are blooming. I feel like I'm blooming. But I will say that as we get into the wintertime and it's like, okay, we dial down, we get focused on Christmas and on family and it gets a little colder. Like, January is pretty rough for me. People should check on me because I'm like, all right.
Mental note, check on Krista.
Yeah, check on Krista in January because it's cold, it's dark, and I'm sad. But yeah, right, it's all just figuring out who you are.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you do that in any tactical or practical ways, balancing career, balancing family, work-life balance? You have your Sundays that you go through, but is there any, whether it's little tips or tricks or, you know, mental mindsets, meditations that you go through that really allow you to not just reset your mind, but truly clear your physical and mental schedule to be able to handle the entirety of everything you're involved with?
Yeah, so I would say I'm a big checklist type of person. So if there is something that I need to do or I want to do, like I will have index cards around my house. My boyfriend is probably annoyed by seeing them because I give them to him now of things to do.
Nice. Team.
Yeah, right. But it really helps me so then I could check everything off because then I'm like, okay, my list is cleared. I'm good for the week. I will say I don't meditate. I don't really read books. I'm into reality TV, murder mystery, that type of stuff.
That's great.
But that's my way of, you know, closing off and allowing myself to breathe and do that stuff. Because most of the time during the week, you know, we all slave our jobs 9 to 5, right? And then a lot of times after that, I'm going to these networking events and I'm still on. And then I'm out with friends because I want to be there, but you're still on. And then I just need some time to like watch my murder mystery and not talk to anybody.
Yeah, that's fair. Earlier in the segment, you said intentionally, unintentionally, pushing yourself where you are in your career, whether you directly were like, I'm going to be a leader here or not. I think a lot of people look at you in leadership roles and look at you as a leader and a figure. I certainly do.
Thank you. So
what does that mean, though, to you, to be a young leader here emerging in your career, as well as then looking into some other mentors that you look up to? Of where you may want to go. Like, what does that mean for you?
I can't put it into words, honestly. I never saw myself even where I am today, like even sitting here doing a podcast like this. Again, I did not have an agenda. I did not know what I was going to do. I went to school undecided. I actually almost got into school at Misericordia to do occupational therapy.
Nice.
Imagine that.
I went to school for sports medicine.
Right. So it means so much that people even view me in this role. caveat to that is my mom would always say that I was the girl that'd be like leading the little dance routines, or like when I would do baton twirling, like I always wanted to be like up in the front teaching, helping the girls.
There you go.
So I think I always had that like leadership quality, but I didn't recognize it in the sense of a business world. It was just more of like cheerleading and dancing and things like that. But I also wouldn't be here without the people that believed in me. I mean, right off the bat, I'll say Darren Betters from the airport. He was the first person that really took a gamble on me not knowing anything as a sophomore coming in. I learned a lot, and he really like stuck by my side and helped me. And beyond that, there's just been so many other people that have been a part of my growth and, again, believed in me, because I'm very much the type of person that will ask a lot of questions. I want to learn a lot of different things, hopefully retain most of the stuff that is told to me, but it takes a lot to really get there. And there's so many more places that I want to go. You know, like I mentioned social media before being like not real life. I have so many things that I'd want to do and like start my own podcast and, you know, have those dreams. But I think also, again, being in the present and enjoying and being happy with where I am, I have to appreciate so much, because we're never going to get the moment back right now. And if you just keep looking ahead and keep striving, you want to be driven, but there's a point when you need to just appreciate what's in front of you.
Yeah. And something I've learned is generally direction is a lot more important than speed. And so
absolutely,
if you have that direction of where you're going and the vision for that, then everything ends up being on time.
I mean, do you want to know my long-term?
I would like, love that.
So, like, not a five-year goal. This is probably, like, a ways away. But my ultimate goal in life is to, one, be super rich so I could spoil all the people that have been around me and have supported me from day one.
Love it.
And number two, I want to be a late-night talk show host.
Okay.
Like a Jimmy Fallon. So, meet all the celebrities, talk to them, and just learn about their crazy lives.
That's incredible. I love that. I can see you being a great personality for that.
Yeah.
This is just the beginning. I'm
right?
Thrilled to be able to have
podcast
you in front of me
number
here.
Two.
Yeah. Yeah, that's so cool. And thank you for sharing that, because that's something that is, you know, really special to you and cherished. And I don't know how often you do or don't share that, but I'd imagine probably not a ton.
Yeah, no, it doesn't really come up in conversation very often.
Yeah, no, but I think we'll definitely be on the lookout for you in the next, well, I'm going to give you 2 to 7 years. How's
all
that
right.
sound?
That sounds really close.
Yeah,
but
well, yeah, you know, you, like you said, stretch goal. You got to at least
goal.
Throw it out there, and then it'll come around.
Yeah.
So changing up a little bit, thinking about being here in the Valley, what do you do for fun? And maybe it's not necessarily in the Valley, but what are some cool things that we got going on here? Best kept secrets, hidden gems?
I mean, there's so much more to do here than there is Scranton, which is why every time I go home, I'm like, oh, man, it's a really good thing that I got out of there. I mean, it's just a different life. But, I mean, me and my friends, we love to go out. I'm big about patios, like I said before, especially when the sun is shining.
Patio season.
Patio season. It's upon us, people. I'm really looking forward to Wanderlust opening.
Okay.
So that's a really great one. If you haven't been there,
that's
check
over
it
in
out. Yeah, it's over in Easton. Yeah. Have you not been?
No, I have. It's
oh, okay.
like a yard outdoors. It has like food truck kind of things going on.
Yeah, it's an awesome vibe. It's an experience while you're having drinks and food with your friends. There's typically live music, a bunch of photo op areas, just really cool stuff. I love it at Wanderlust. But they close for the season just like me. They're getting ready to bloom. I believe it's April 11th, but don't quote me. So I'm really excited to go back to Wanderlust with some of my friends and hang out.
Cool. Well, I've been there once, and I'll definitely have to get back there and check it out. April, mid-April sometime. Don't quote her on the date. But
yeah.
sometime it will be open, and it's in Easton, kind of in like the suburby area. Like just not in the city portion of it.
Right.
But
more like by Forks Township,
yeah,
maybe?
Yeah, it's a little outside, but it's there. You'll find it.
Yeah.
How can people find you or get in touch if they want?
You can find me on Instagram, LinkedIn, or Facebook at Krista in the Valley, or I have my personal stuff out there too. If you want to find me, I'm Krista Lynn. Don't put my last name out there, but now it's out there.
Yeah, there it is.
And then my email is just Krista@AgentisPlumbing.com. One of the best things about joining Agentis is that they don't make me spell my last name in my email.
There you go. Well, if you need some plumbing, or if you need to sell a house,
yes,
where are you looking to buy? hit up Krista. She'll be able to help you one way or another. Before we jet here, as we wrap up this episode, any final advice, comments, word of wisdom that you want to be able to leave for our young leaders that may be listening in?
This is a great community. If it's something that people are teetering, if they want to stay here or if they want to come here, or if you just want to make it a little bit more vibrant for yourself, you know, reach out to me. I'd be happy to grab some coffee, grab a beer, and just meet you and learn more.
Awesome. Well, that about does it here. Episode 16 in the books with Krista Birdelli. Thank you so much for coming out. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you so much for having me. This was fun.
Yeah, big, big thanks. It has been fun. I'm sure I'll see you sometime soon.
Late night talk show host. You'll see me on TV.
Oh, I better see you on TV. I'll hold you to it. And then we're going to reminisce on this moment.
Yes, we will.
Speaking it into existence is very, very much a real thing here.
Yes.
So we welcome any comments or questions from any listeners to this episode. Certainly we'll relay them back. You can find the show airing monthly on WDIY 88.1 FM on the second Monday of every month at 6:30 p.m., so don't forget to listen.
Got it. I'll tune in.
And forever streaming with all other episodes on WDIY.org, along with Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, and WDIY's YouTube and social media channels. Lastly, a big shout-out to some people making this program possible. Lauren Matthews with the creation of the Young Valley Leaders logo and brand. Matt Cajun live in studio with us today, behind the camera, making the interview come to life. And on screen, James, Seamus, and all of the good folks at WDIY to continue to give us the time, the space, the energy, and the good thoughts to help support and disseminate the show across all of the said mediums, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, NPR, and really any other place you find podcasts. Thanks for joining in here. I'm Lewis Holzman with Young Valley Leaders, and we'll talk to you next month.